Welcome to another episode of Global Data Pod, today's data drop where we cover key data releases and the potential implications for the macro view is on the February Global Inflation Report. I'm Sam Azzarello and I lead content strategy for Global Research, and I'm thrilled to be joined again by Nora Centovani, senior global economist and lead author on our fairly new and very popular report, Global Inflation Monitor. So Nora, great to be back talking with you again this month. I wanted to ask, what are the main takeaways from the latest inflation monitor? And also, as a corollary question, is the message of sticky core inflation still borne out by the data you see?
Yes, Sam. So there's still definitely a sense of stickiness in the inflation data. I think the February numbers were suggesting that we were right not to fully discount the upside surprise in January. CPI gains were firm once again in February. We got a 0.3% monthly rise in core CPI and an even stronger 0.4% gain in headline CPI due to an added kick from rising energy prices. On an over a year ago basis, headline inflation steadied at 3.3%, while core inflation ticked down a tenth to 3.6%. Broadly speaking, I would say the rebound in inflation momentum that we're seeing on a three-month annualized basis is very much consistent with the message we've been sending, that disinflation progress looks to be slowing and in fact stalling near the 3% mark as we progress through the first half of the year.
Then around key sectoral divergences between goods and services inflation, what are you witnessing there?
So I think there are a couple of clear signals coming from the data on this. First of all, core goods deflation has ended. This is something we've been flagging for a few months now. Core goods prices rose another 0.1% on the month, and a three-month annualized basis, we are up about 0.4%. The swing is even more pronounced if we take the US used car prices out of the equation. So the second message is one of stickiness in underlying services inflation, where we got a 0.4% monthly gain and the three-month annualized rate picked up to 5% from December's low of 4%. Outside of core, I think the other interesting development is on energy prices, which I mentioned. So in response to the 15% increase in crude oil prices since the middle of December, we are starting to see consumer energy prices moving up. And I think the risk there is that we get headline inflation actually moving higher in the second quarter rather than moderating as a lot of people are expecting.
That actually tracks with a piece of research put out by our commodities team a few days ago, showing that there's a risk premium on the oil price now, given some conflict happening within Russia that could impact supply. So the next way you always talk about divergences is around regional divergences. What are you seeing there, Nora?
Yeah, I mean, I think this message of stickiness around the 3% mark is a common theme across most regions, not China, but outside of China. We are, however, seeing in a couple of countries some evidence of slowing in services inflation, you know, EM Asia, within the developed markets, Canada, Norway. So I think in some countries where maybe labor markets have been less tight or where, you know, wage inflation has started to ease, we are seeing some signs of cooling. But generally speaking, stickiness in services inflation is quite broad-based. The US in particular has seen very strong services inflation. You know, I think some of the recent readings there probably exaggerate the underlying trend. But, you know, even in the PC, we are seeing quite firm numbers still through February.
Then if we were to zoom out and look at broader dynamics that you spoke to last time and you write about regularly, I would list China's excess supply, putting downward pressure on manufactured good prices, also shipping costs, and then even broader, just generalized supply chain pressures. What are you seeing with respect to those factors impacting inflation?
I would say China is still broadly a deflationary force for global manufactured good prices. You know, that's due to this large overhang of finished goods inventories. But the intensity of that impulse has been fading. Again, this is something we've been highlighting for a few months now. Export price deflation did slow down quite appreciably in the past couple of months, and we've seen the three-month run rates on China export price inflation broadly back to zero, or actually slightly positive through February. On the shipping cost, there's been some sign of stabilization, but we're still probably up, you know, roughly 100% from where we were in early December. And a number of countries have seen increases in consumer goods import prices, partly as a result of that. So I think there's a broad firming in supply chain pressures, but you know, there's nothing here to suggest we're going to get a surge in goods inflation in the coming months. So it's probably consistent with a modest firming in core goods inflation.
Okay, so Nora, last question for you. We keep tabs on client questions, obviously, and we've been hearing across the department that inflation and is at the heart of what many clients are asking about, just given its importance for central bank outlooks and whatnot. So I want to ask you from here, what's the forecast for the path of global inflation?
So on net, we still see global core inflation running near 3.4% in the first quarter and then moderating to 2.9% in the second quarter. I think that's maybe about a tenth higher than where we saw it a month ago when we did this podcast. And we see core inflation getting down on a year ago basis to about 3% by the middle of the year and 2.5% over the course of 2025. So this broader moderation in the underlying trend for inflation is still there. I think if that forecast is realized, then again, we're likely to see a shift towards less restrictive monetary policy stances, including by the Fed and the ECB. But I don't think those central banks are on autopilot. And I think if inflation does prove to be a little bit stickier or peskier, then I think a lot of Fed officials hope, for example, then there is a risk that those rate cuts get delayed and that space for overall central bank easing becomes more limited.
Okay, Nora, thank you for your time and insights as always. And thanks to our listeners for tuning in. We'll see you next month when we do this again. This podcast was recorded on March 25th, 2024. This communication is provided for informational purposes only. Please refer to JP Morgan research reports related to its content for more information, including important disclosures. 2024 JPM Chase & Co., all rights reserved.